Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Last month, the community of Kanturk in County Cork was rocked, the whole country was, by the murder-suicide in the O'Sullivan family. Now detectives believe that Mark O'Sullivan was shot to death by his father, Tadhg, and his younger brother, Diarmaid, both who then later took their own lives. And detectives are also investigating this tragic crime. They're looking now at a new angle. And to tell us more about this, I'm joined on the line by Barry Roach, the Southern correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Claire.
You're reporting today that detectives are looking at the possibility that the father, Tadhg O'Sullivan, that he might have hatched the plan and persuaded his younger son, Diarmaid, to take part. Will you take us through what's led to detectives making that assumption?
Yes, Claire. Well, in the immediate aftermath, it wasn't quite clear what emerged, and I suppose we still won't know until such time as there is an inquest and things are put in public record of the exact sequence of events. But Gardaí, I think, have come to the view now that perhaps Tadhg was the instigator. Initially, it may have seemed that Diarmaid had a grievance with his brother, Mark, whom they shot, but it looks more like it seems to have resulted from the grievance that Tadhg, the father, had with his wife, Anne. Listeners will be familiar, will remember that on the morning of the 26th of October last, Anne O'Sullivan, who's 60, she had come back from Dublin about a fortnight earlier, having undergone surgery there for a serious medical condition. She awoke to discover her husband Tadhg and her son Diarmaid shooting at her other son Mark in the bedroom. She managed to get to a neighbour's house, but she actually was stopped on the way by the Tadhg and Diarmaid, who told her to the effect that she could have to live with the consequences of her decision to leave the land to Mark. It was all a dispute over a will, as we understand it. But Gardaí, since then, they cordoned off the scene, obviously. Tadhg and Diarmaid took their own lives at a ferry ford some four fields from the house. But Gardaí cordoned off the scene, began examining the house, and they found a lot of documentation there. They found an apparent suicide note from Diarmaid, which was strapped to his thigh with cling film, and in that he set out his grievance. But I think from what we can gather, what we can glean, he didn't have a particular grievance with his brother. It's more with his mother, it seems. But it seems also that Tadhg had this long festering dispute with his wife over the way the land was to be, or the farm was to be.
Oh, will you take us through, Barry, because I know the new information that you have today, it's about these solicitors' letters. And the first one is from a Dublin solicitor to Anne O'Sullivan.
Well, it's sent to her, but it's him writing to her on her behalf, setting out what, following her instructions, we understand. When that arrived at the house, we're not sure, but we believe, or Gardaí believe, I think, that that may have been the trigger for Tadhg to hatch his plan, and that when he saw her intention as regards.
So Tadhg, you're saying Tadhg O'Sullivan, it's the assumption of detectives, read that letter, which was for Anne.
Which was for Anne, and sent on her instructions. It was her solicitor, Gardaí, her instructions. And then it would seem that in response, he had already, their solicitor's letters have been exchanged, I think, since February, but he instructed a solicitor in Cork to write to her to the effect that while they had their differences, he felt they could be resolved. And it's my understanding that Gardaí believed that when she received that letter on the Friday the 23rd, she interpreted that as an olive branch. And although she and Mark had come back from Dublin to Castlemagner in mid-October, they'd actually stayed with relatives rather than going back to the house because things were so fraught there. But she interpreted that letter that she received from Tadhg, written by his solicitor, as an olive branch and went back on Friday the 23rd. And obviously then, over that weekend, the whole tragedy unfolded. So Gardaí are looking at that correspondence, and I would imagine that they've spoken to both solicitors to find out exactly what they were instructed to do by their respective clients.
So she, Anne, may have believed that she was returning to the house with Mark in order to make peace with Tadhg and Diarmaid.
That's my understanding, that Gardaí are investigating that as a thesis. But we also know that Mark had written a note, which was found by Gardaí, in which he expressed concerns about returning to the house and the possibility that something terrible might happen. So he obviously felt that the situation may not have been as resolved or as harmonious as certainly his mother seems to have interpreted, or possibly interpreted, that weekend.
And all of this stems back to the fact that the land was belonging to Anne's father. I understand it was still in her father's name, even though he was deceased.
Absolutely, yes, it hadn't. It's a 115-acre farm, And some legal people or legal sources contacted me to point out that if Tighe had outlived his wife, then he would have been entitled to at least one third of the farm, the holding that he could contest it, or will, whatever she had left in that. My understanding is that she had indicated that she was going to leave one field, the bog field, to Dearmid, the rest was to go to Mark, but he would have gained one third of the farm at any rate. So it's somewhat puzzling that things should take such a horrific and terrible turn when, you know, if he had outlived her, that he would have inherited a portion of the farm.
Okay. It's a horrendous situation, Barry. Thank you for bringing us up to date with the latest developments in that case. That's Barry Roach there from the Irish Times.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.